financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
An annuity is probably the most misunderstood insurance product that there is. There are features and benefits that supply literally hundreds of solutions for financial problems that an annuity can help solve. And I think that you're doing a disservice if you don't at least investigate some of them and ask some questions of your advisor or trying to find an advisor. So,
hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. Who do we have as a guest today?
Well, hey, John, I'm really happy to report that we have Mark Williams as a guest today. And Mark is hard to get, and we're really happy to have him here. And I thank him for taking his time to do this and talk about this really valuable topic. Mark's career spans more than 35 years as a financial expert. His senior leadership roles were for places like Allianz Life or The Hartford, certainly large companies you're going to know, distribution organizations that work at the intersection of advisors, carriers, and consumers, giving him a unique perspective on how annuities are designed to function in real life today. Yes, I said annuities, not what you think the show is going to be, I bet. Today's discussion is really about education and insight, not products. And Mark brings a depth of experience that is rare. He's seen the industry from the career side, the distribution side, and the consumer side, which is exactly why today's conversation matters. So welcome, Mark Williams. Thank you for doing this.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Francis, and thank you for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. So you've been spending decades shaping the way that advisors think, I've been one of them, about guaranteed income protection. Guaranteed income protection, that bears repeating, and long-term planning. And today we're setting aside the products, right? Because we always talk about the little minutiae of annuity products, to talk about the logic, the jargon, the ideas of what's behind an annuity, and to debunk some of the myths that are out there about what they are and they aren't. And there's so much to cover here. I will not be surprised if we do this in a series, but we will get what we can, if I stop chatting, covered today about the features and the quiet benefits, which is my favorite thing to do, to talk about all the things nobody's telling them. Right? Nobody tells you this about annuities, the quiet benefits that most people never hear about. And I just wanted to give a nod to John Sawsville, who's jumped into the anchor chair here today on short notice. And we really appreciate that he's doing this. So thank you, John, from Platform Brokerage. I really appreciate that you're anchoring the show with us today. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure to join such special people.
So well, can I?
Thanks for having me along.
You're very welcome. Can I put you on the spot a little bit, as I'm known to do, and say that this show was actually your idea?
Honestly, your two minds together are like electricity. So I've been in conversations with you guys, and honestly, they're the most thought-provoking financial conversations I've ever been part of. I just thought it'd be great to get you two together and have an open conversation about annuities.
Gee, and I thought you were going to say it was fun. So let's give you the floor, Mark, and just say, let me ask you this. When you look back over your career, Allianz, you know, huge companies like this, what was, maybe not the first thing, but what was one thing that surprised you about how annuities actually work behind the scenes?
Yeah, so great question. When I first got into financial services, literally 35, 36 years ago, it was as a stockbroker. So I didn't know a lot about insurance products at all. I was attracted to the stock market and the action of the stock market. And as I really started to visit with customers, I found that a lot of their concerns, their fears and concerns, could be addressed by life insurance. So there's kind of two sides of planning. There's the greed side. Oh, I want more money. I want more money. And how do I get more money? And then there's the protection side. Once I have this money, now what do I do with it? And, ooh, I don't want to lose it. And I was always attracted to the not losing side. And so when I left the brokerage firm, I went and started to work for an insurance company as an agent. I really started to understand needs, wants, fears of the consumer. And although I didn't have much annuity experience, I knew that for the most part, most people really don't have the financial education about the products that we offer. And so as I dug into annuities, I even, as a financial professional early in my career, I had misperceptions or misinformation about what an annuity can do. What I really found interesting as I went to work for insurance companies is what they do and what they provide, insurance companies do not do a great job of marketing. That was my number one biggest surprise, is they have this product that is so misunderstood and can do so much for so many people, and yet the public has really no idea what they really do. That was probably my biggest aha moment.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, and thank you for saying that. We've both seen the industry evolve over the years, and I was just thinking, what's one main misconception that the industry itself had to grow out of? And I think we've both just agreed that it hasn't grown out of it yet. The industry is still stuck in the dark ages selling a product when really they've got this great tool that if it's used properly in the right situations for part of a portfolio, it can solve some enormous problems. And so, and easily, right? Effectively, efficiently.
Yeah, 100%. So it's interesting that you made that comment. I think for years and years and years, we were trying to sell annuities. We weren't trying to solve problems. We were trying to sell a product.
Right.
And that led us to brag about the features and benefits of the product without really understanding what the client wants and determining what fits that want, right? Or that need.
Yes.
If I've been in front of one, I've been in front of thousands of consumers. And if I were to ask one simple question to 1,000 people, if I could provide you a guaranteed stream of income, guaranteed, you'll get it every single month. It isn't affected by interest rates or the stock market. You will receive it every single day until the day you die. And I can also arrange that it continues after your death to a significant other. 99% of, if I were to ask who would want that, 99% of the population would raise their hand. Yet they don't know how to supply that, the solution. And therein lies the big disconnect of trying to sell you a product versus solving a need. And once again, that was the biggest aha moment for me, was this is a totally misunderstood solution. And people are turned off by the word because they just, the name of the product, because they don't understand it. And so, yeah, it can do lots of things, which made me think when you said it, we're not really trying to sell, we're trying to solve a need. And there happens to be some very good tools that will do that.
Yes, well said. I never wanted to be a salesperson, and I've always shied away from that. And people will say, no matter what you're doing, you're selling something. But the reason I do what I do for a living now is because I really wanted to help people be financially well. And so I use annuities a lot for that. I mean, we recommend, we work with brokers, and we recommend these products when they're a good fit. But I've found that we really have had to rewire the mental model of annuities.
You bet.
In order to get this to work. Now, speaking of lesser known things that people don't know about annuities and the bad rap they've gotten, the number one thing I get when the word annuity is mentioned is, oh, I don't want one of those. The company takes all your money when you die. Or I'll never be able to touch my money again. You can get the wrong annuity if you're not careful, right?
You bet.
There were old kinds of annuities that do still exist that said, by contract, you give us all your money, you relinquish control of it, and in return for that, we will give you X number of dollars per month for the rest of your life. Even if you run out of money, we have to still keep paying you. Underneath the surface of that, there's some gray area about whether you can use these to protect assets from, say, nursing home debt or something like
sure.
that. But one thing comes to mind that people never seem to talk about, and it's a restrictive beneficiary form. Everybody says you can't control your money from the grave. You must have a really expensive trust. I don't care if your kids are going to blow it. There's nothing you can do about it. If you want to give it to your son, but you're afraid his daughter-in-law is going to, you know, buy a Porsche with it, too bad, so sad, you're stuck with it. And it's not quite true. You can use an annuity with a specific form, if you get the right annuity in the right form, to do just that within some limitations, 5 years or whatever. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I love the fact that you, number one, admitted that there. Listen, this is a tool, and I'm a kind of a car geek. And if I don't have the right wrench, I can't fix certain things. You have to have the right tools. There are hundreds and hundreds of different types of annuities. So your first comment, 100%. You have to choose the right tool for the right problem. And that's part of visiting with a financial professional is to find the right tool. You're 100%. Also, I agree with 100% that there are ways to control the money without expensive lawyers and trusts. There are ways to designate once you pass who receives the money and for how long. And that's again, a planning feature, right? It all depends on someone's personal needs. If you don't have kids, you might not have to worry about it. So let's not talk about that. If you're concerned about, yes, you have a large family, you know money can get in the way, and when you pass, there'll be arguments and discussions on who gets what. The wonderful thing about the annuity and the contract that you buy or that you're using is exactly that. You can designate who receives what when. Much like you can do with almost all of your money if you do it correctly with the right tools. So I think it's one of the overlooked features and or benefits, you could call it, of using an annuity is you can design that specifically once you're gone. So you bet. Using the right beneficiary form and discussing how you control that money and who gets it is a huge part of what financial professionals do.
Well, I'm here to say I don't have kids and I still use an annuity to designate where my money is going. I'll give you two quick examples. One, if I leave property to somebody, I leave real estate, they're sure. going to have some money to pay the taxes and repairs while that real estate might be put up for sale. And if they're not on other accounts where they can get immediate access because they're stuck in probate court, for instance, yep. the annuity avoids probate. Bam, the money goes directly to the beneficiary immediately. I can use it to send money to charities. Right. So, yep. So I like all of that. Just the idea that it avoids probate. I can change the beneficiaries anytime I want. You know, it's quick and easy and it doesn't get stuck in probate. So I love that about them.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Do you want to give us a little history on the different kinds of annuities?
Sure. So in true basic form, I'll break it down as simplistically as I can. The first decision someone needs to make is when do they need to start receiving money from inside the annuity? Because that really determines there's two basic types of annuities. One is an immediate, where you put in a deposit, and usually within a very short period of time, as little as 30 days, you can start withdrawing the income. So, for example, if I were retiring and I had a good amount of savings or 401k or whatever, and I want to start supplementing my income today, I need what's called an immediate annuity. I'm going to put in a deposit and I'm going to start withdrawing income today. If I don't need it today, I'm willing to defer, and I'm using that term specifically. Mm-hmm. If I can wait, I don't need income today because I can live off my savings and I want it to start in 5 years or 10 years or 15, I want a deferred annuity. And that's the first place to start because those are the two basic types. I either get an immediate annuity for income today, or I'm going to wait some specified period of time, or I'm not even sure when, I just know it's not today, that will go into a deferred annuity. So those are the first two things someone has to decide is when do I want my income to start?
Yes, I agree totally. And then underneath that umbrella of immediate or deferred, there's variable and, you know, there's all kinds of different categories. This is where you're going to lean on your advisor to say, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. Because just to muddy the waters some more after Mark just cleaned it up, you can get a deferred annuity and still take money out of it, even in year one in some products. But you're going to need the right product to do it. And let's clear something up. Taking money out of your annuity can be a withdrawal does not have to be income. Forget what you're telling the IRS it is. There are two different terms and two different ways of getting money out of an annuity. When you're drawing income, that typically means some sort of a permanent kind of decision. When you're making withdrawals, you're taking it out like you would take money out of your brokerage account or your CD or any place else, your savings account, and the rest of the money is still in there in a deferred basis, earning money for your future at some point. And then there's all kinds of bells and whistles that go on these things to improve what you're trying to do. If you decide, I want income, and I want it in the future, and I can let this money grow for 10, 12 years, whatever it is, there are products that offer you great features to be able to make the most of that money very safely, in fact, on a guaranteed basis, over that period of time. So you can improve your retirement picture by using it safely and actually sort of, I hate to say compete, but you may come close to what you would have been doing in something riskier without the risk in terms of your earnings.
100%. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would say that's misnomer number one, is once I've given my money, I've paid my premium or given my money to the insurance company, I can't access. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Yes, there in most annuities, there is what's called a withdrawal feature. And that, depending on the annuity, there are certain percentages as to how much you can access. But remember, this is again income now or income later. This should be if you're going for a deferred. I don't need the income today. I need it later. This is money that you'd hope you wouldn't need today. But if you do, for whatever reason, there are ways to access that penalty free. So misnomer number one: I can't access my money. That is 100% false. You Yes. can access the money. You can also cancel the contract. Now, depending on how long you've had the contract, there might be some fees that need to be paid. But if you decide, wow, 4 years from now, 6 years from now, I don't want this anymore, you can get your money back. Now, you Sure. may pay a fee or a penalty, but most definitely you have access to your money. So misnomer number two: I can't cancel the contract. Well, yes, you can. So that's mistaken. And I'll also tell you that in the last 20 years, there have been some wonderful features and benefits that weren't even offered on annuities 25 years ago. And I'll give you a few examples. One is actually a guaranteed withdrawal benefit. You can take withdrawals for the rest of your life and never actually have to take an annuitization or a guaranteed period of time. So that's number one, new feature and benefit. There are long-term care benefits now built into annuities. So God forbid you're placed into a nursing home or you need some additional care, you can access the funds, obviously with some criteria, but that you can receive those funds to pay for other things besides just your living. So misnomer number three, God forbid I get sick or hurt, I can't use the money. No, that's not true. You can. And in many instances, in many products, it's an indemnity, meaning you can take the money out and pay for any type of care you need. It's not reimbursing. It's actually receiving the money. So again, more features and benefits that I don't think people understand are there. And that's where your financial professional really steps in. It really should be the one that's advising what type of annuity, how much risk, what features and benefits can I use, all to supply the answer or the solution to your fears and or concerns about getting older and outliving your funds.
Wow. You know, we are definitely going to have to do more shows about this because we've barely touched the tip of the iceberg here.
Can I jump in with a question?
Yes, please do.
Sure, you bet.
You know, you said talk to your advisor. How do you know if your advisor knows about this stuff, right? Because, like, I listen to you guys. I'm here taking notes on what Mark just said. So how do you know if your advisor knows?
Well, I'll jump in first, and then I'll let Francis, as an advisor, speak. So from my perspective, when you are looking for an advisor, much like you would looking for an accountant or a doctor, your job as a consumer is to ask questions. You want to know the experience of your advisor. This is your livelihood and potentially your legacy that you leave to your family. You have every right to ask, what licenses do you hold? How long have you done this? What products do you recommend? And are you licensed to sell? Are you a fiduciary or not? And what does that actually mean? You should be interviewing. I tell people that I've hired in the past, you should be interviewing me as much as I'm interviewing you. Well, that's, I can't tell you how true that is when you're looking for a financial professional. It should feel right. It should click. It's, I don't want to say it's dating, but it's kind of like dating. You should know when you leave their office, wow, this feels right. This feels good. They can offer me what I need. And if it doesn't, or they're not well versed in what you're looking for, move on. That would be my advice. Francis, from a advisor's perspective, how would you answer that?
Well, first of all, I just want to comment on Mark's. I love that response, Mark. Go ahead, Francis.
But you need to remember that your situation is completely different from someone else's. So even if somebody says, hey, my advisor's made me a ton of money, that might not be what you're after. So the first thing I think you want to see when you're shopping for an advisor is not how much they're asking you and what they're asking you, but how well they're listening. Are they asking you questions like, tell me how much money you have? Or are they saying things like, so let me understand a little bit about what brought you here? So that your advisor is checking back with you all the time and saying, do I have this right? Do I understand you correctly? Not just, now let me give you my cookie cutter plan. Okay? It should be, as Mark said, a partnership. You're going to work with this person for a long time if it goes well. And you should feel comfortable not having to start over and over and over again. If they're not really human and they're not really listening, like a, I hate to use a therapist because who knows, good, bad therapists, all that. But they're not your therapist, but they do need to understand your entire picture. And that doesn't come from, you know, a 10-question sheet or telling you what they have to offer. It comes from listening.
Yeah, let me also add, John, that a lot of consumers are concerned with having more than one advisor. And I would tell them that it's much like a doctor. There are some doctors that are general practitioners, right, that you go and see them for aches and pains. I'm not real sure of this. And oftentimes that doctor will say, I think you need to see someone that does this specifically. I have plenty of clients who have other advisors. They may seek out a stockbroker, which I don't do that anymore. I'm an insurance man, quite frankly, and I my job is retirement income specifically. But if you want to dabble with bonds, for example, which I'm not very well versed in, great. Have at it. I can introduce you to plenty of people that do that and do that really well. So having one advisor, two advisors is okay. And in fact, oftentimes I recommend it.
Yes.
I don't give tax or legal advice. You should have a good family attorney. You might need a really good accountant if that's what you need. So having multiple advisors isn't a no-no. And if you're working with someone who says you should do everything with me, sometimes I think that could be a red flag.
I agree.
So again, I want to make sure that people understand you are the biggest advocate for yourself. Whether that's in a medical situation, in a financial situation, you have to advocate for yourself and ask the questions, do the interviews, and it's quite okay to have more than one.
You need a GP for your money, right? Because you need somebody to run the, you know, to look at the whole picture. Nobody knows everything. Some advisors are very good at making money, at growing capital. That's what they do. But at the time where you want to preserve that capital, protect it, and turn it into income, that growth advisor is probably not your person. The brain surgeon is not going to handle your gastrointestinal stuff, and the stockbroker is not going to give you the right annuity most of the time. There are exceptions, of course. And so this series is about education. Not, we haven't mentioned a single product, right? And we're not going to. It's not about the product. It's about understanding what you need in order to shop for it.
That is not how I think of this world at all. I think of it as a one-point solution, and I feel like that's where most people are getting their advice is from a single person, which doesn't really make any sense after hearing what you just said. So honestly, I'm constantly blown away by you guys. And another thing that we've talked about before is the relationship between a husband and a wife and possibly the different decisions that they might make. And, you know, in a lot of our conversations, I've heard that the wives in the situation are like, I'm worried about what I'm going to do in retirement. I'm worried about if he passes, what happens, right? It's a totally different thought process. So I just wanted to get your guys' feedback on how you deal with the different perspectives in a family and how you balance those.
You bet. There's a lot there, John. So As a rule, generally speaking, most advisors want both decision makers. If there's more than one decision maker in a family, an advisor wants both decision makers. Again, I'll use the analogy that we're talking about with doctors. If there's something major that's happening with me, I want my wife with me. Whatever recommendation, whether it's, God forbid, cancer and its radiation or chemicals or medicine, that's a big life decision that should be made as a union. That's why we're a union. In that situation, I want to understand both sides. And so, yeah, I think it's a topic we could talk about for a long time, another show perhaps, but understanding both the wants and the needs and desires of all the parties involved in the money is an incredibly important part of the decision-making process. And I would never want to make a life decision without my life partner. And that's what I would recommend to someone, because at some point in time, you know, human feelings and emotion and resentments and all kinds of things are in that scenario that we could talk about. But it's a wonderful question. But I think Francis and I would both say, understanding the wants, needs, and desires of both parties or everyone involved in that financial situation is probably one of the most crucial things we do.
It's so important that we actually require it. There are very few instances, somebody's getting a divorce or something like that we will take one partner without the other. But I just have learned very long ago that if you don't get the two people in the same place, you won't really solve their problems. And that's what really has to happen. You're using these tools as a solution. And that's why the education is so important. And so I thank you, Mark Williams, for joining us. You're a wonderful guest. And I hope that we'll continue this series and really get some education out there to people about what annuities can do and what they're not good for.
You bet. I can't tell you how pleased I was and how happy I am that you asked me to be on the show. There's so much more about annuities that we could talk about and talk with your listeners. I'll leave people with this. An annuity is probably the most misunderstood insurance product that there is. There are features and benefits that supply literally hundreds of solutions for financial problems that an annuity can help solve. And I think that you're doing a disservice if you don't at least investigate some of them and ask some questions of your advisor or trying to find an advisor. So I applaud you, Francis, on educating the consumer, number one. You have a wonderful practice and people that love you, and it's obvious why. I'll end with make sure you get a hug. Which is what people need is a hug for their finances.
Thank you, Mark. What a pleasure. And thank you, John Sosville, for anchoring this and jumping in with some questions. We'll join Mark again in another series here and continue our discussion.
I honestly haven't thought of finance like I do medical until this conversation. And I honestly am going to take a totally different approach to it moving forward. So,
wow. I hope our listeners feel the same way, John.
Great. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Underwritten by Hug Your Money.
Permission granted to chase your dreams.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.